radio@firehouse.com. Real issues, real answers, real firefighters.
Welcome to Fire and EMS Safety Week, brought to you by Firehouse.com and Firehouse Magazine. I'm Douglas Klein, Training Commander with the High Point Fire Department and your host for the Training and Tactics Talk podcast on radio at Firehouse.com. And we want to talk to you a little bit about having the appropriate or being able to ensure that you have enough resources on any incident to be able to mitigate it and do it safely. And when we talk about safety in the fire service, I think it's paramount that we begin to truly analyze every component that we get involved with as far as what it takes to mitigate an incident. And statistics are showing us that with the economic times that we have today, our number of resources that are initially on our apparatus are being cut significantly. And we know that there are departments that are laying, you know, firefighters off. We know that engine companies are down to three people. Some places they've been dropped to two people. In our volunteer world, and, you know, I'm involved with it, you know, we're not getting, you know, tons of folks that are able to turn out because of their, you know, requirements to their job. You know, they have lives and they have responsibilities to their employers, and it's tough to get people out on the fire scene. And across the United States today, believe it or not, whether you want to recognize this, we're fighting fire with far more than less adequate staffing in a lot of cases. And that was some of the premise behind 1710 and 1720 in the NFPA standards, is to be able to get adequate resources, or in, to be able to ensure that we had enough resources on a fire scene or an incident scene to be able to mitigate it in a timely manner. And I think we need to really nail this down and think about it. There's a lot of pride issues that are out there in the fire service. And, you know, we're all proud about the department we're with. But we all belong to a much bigger group that we should be proud of. Our pride should boom and beam out that we're part of the fire service. And these little sandbox lines that are being drawn as to, okay, you know, I'm in X fire department and we're going to handle X fire department's district, and I don't need help no matter what. And that mentality still exists. Well, let's just break it down and realize that, in my opinion, an opinion across a lot of the fire service leaders, it's when we do not put and ensure that we have adequate resources on scene, we're putting people's lives in jeopardy, especially with some of the operations that are being deployed. Now, I know that people are sitting out there saying, oh, we don't, you know, engage our people in unsafe acts. You know, we would never do that. Well, let's stop and think about it. How many times are people entering into a structure when there's no life hazard to engage in aggressive fire operations and there's not an initial rapid intervention team established? So what happens when we've got a pump operator and two people there? You know, this structure that we're fighting has been, you know, told it was occupied. There is an account of all the occupants there saying everyone is out of this building. You know, and we're rushing in, and we don't even have an initial RIT team. In fact, the second due company may not even be on scene yet. So do we have enough resources? You know, the thing that I think about, and we're seeing this, you know, make a transition across the United States, and we need to push this even further. If we do not have appropriate levels of resources, especially personnel, then we need to be calling for additional companies. If we don't have the appropriate apparatus, you know, maybe you need an aerial truck, you know, one that's a ladder or a platform, then we need to specifically ask for that. And, you know, a lot of the purpose of a platform is for rescue versus a stick. So we need to think about a much bigger picture than what we're thinking about with our safety. You know, on a scene, we have got to get folks thinking that it's much, much more important to have all the resources you need. That's personnel. That's equipment. That's command-level functions. And everybody's saying, oh, we're going to get too many chiefs and not enough Indians. Well, if you've ever sat in a command post and you're putting 80 to 100 pair of boots on the ground, you got 23 pieces of apparatus, you're running multiple floor operations, you've got a lot of considerations. One person trying to do this running around the fire scene is not going to do it effectively and efficiently. You need support components there. You know, if you think about advancing hose lines, and you've got to go to the third floor, you've got to have enough people. Let's think about our high-rise, our multiple-floor operations. And let's say we got a 5 or 6-story building. You know, for every person you put into a high-rise setting, you typically need to consider that you need 3 people for that position so that you can have time to rotate them out and have time to put them into rehab and be able to get, you know, functions going to where that they can operate. There's a lot of things we need to consider safety-wise. And, you know, I truly believe that we need to take a stronger look at safety with what's going on in the fire service and the reduction of staff especially. With the reduction of staff means that we're probably reducing the amount of units that typically could respond. And the time periods of the responses, because, you know, multiple fire stations are being closed in districts, then it's going to have a longer response time. So we need to ensure that we are being safe and we have a safety-oriented thought process that ties to true situational awareness. And everybody, you know, talks about this new buzzwords that they keep coming up, situational awareness. And situational awareness is more than just understanding, you know, what the fire is doing or what the building's doing. Situational awareness is having what I call the totality of the picture of what's going on in that incident. In other words, you've got the window to the wider world approach. And until we take that approach and realize that we have got to call for additional resources very quickly. And I think about scenarios and specifically, you know, an opportunity to be in an area to where I get to engage with other departments, operations through training and assessments and things like that, is that we routinely don't have enough companies on the first alarm, or we might need to reevaluate our standard of cover. Specific buildings or districts may require more apparatus to respond, you know, into a business district than what you do into a maybe residential district. And again, we've got to, you know, smooth out these lines in the sandbox, and it doesn't matter who's coming. We need to have resources coming. And with those resources, you know, the premise that I want to put behind this and a huge push and focus is that our resources that are coming to ensure that we have enough resources, those resources need to be trained and they need to be qualified, and we need the correct resources when it comes to tools, equipment, and apparatus. So I think our focus here in the Fire and EMS Safety Week is that we need to open our eyes to the window of the wider world approach, is that, you know, working a cardiac arrest takes more than 2 people riding an EMS unit. You know, working a bad trauma case, you know, takes more than maybe 2 people. One person in the rear of an EMS unit trying to work on a critical patient is not enough hands. You know, having experience in riding as a paramedic for, you know, 26 years now, I know that importance. Having enough people on scene to do a hazardous materials incident is critical when you got to make more than 1 or 2 entries and be able to fill all the positions that you truly need to fill and not cut corners. You know, we have to look and analyze, you know, exactly what we're doing and be more safety focused. And I think the culture that we're in today, the economic times that are creating some of these cultures of, you know, less staffing, the economic times of where, you know, our volunteerism is down because of, you know, what it takes to support families and, you know, the involvement that they can have, and quite frankly, even some of the stipulations that are put on volunteers. We need to look at and making sure that we're calling early and calling frequently and calling adequate and correct resources. And I think that's part of how we begin to change the culture and ensure that we're being safe. And that's the focus of Fire and EMS Safety Week. And we want to thank you for tuning in to this small segment on radio at firehouse.com and at Firehouse Magazine. We thank you for tuning in. And remember, everyone goes home.
If you have a comment on this program, drop us a line at radio at firehouse.com. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned to firehouse.com for more broadcasts like these, or visit our website at www.firehouse.com/radio.